Hello,
hello.
Is this Katrina?
Yes, hello.
Yeah. Hi, Katrina. We have both Sabine and Barak
Very
on the call. So
hello, Sabine. Hello, Barak. So
Hi.
We can
so,
start.
Yeah, we can start immediately with
yeah, because Hong is not going to join us. So you both were not on the call last time, so probably a short introduction. We are here to deal with the quorum rule. In some cases, well, just to make the proposal or whatever to pass, we need a quorum. So it means that we need some certain number of people to cast their votes. Last time we discussed that we should go through the current documents like bylaws and the rules which were adopted in 2004. So it's really a long time ago. So I did that. I went through the bylaws. I just sent a document to you. Sorry, it was so late before the call. Couldn't make it before. There are certain cases. Apparently, council votes a lot. But I don't think we should actually deal with the council voting, because first of all, it's not an issue, in any case, we have a mailing list where people cast their votes or express concerns and so on. So this is really not a problem. A problem is with cases when we vote and we need quorum to make a decision, but unfortunately people are not active. How this issue emerged, as you probably know, there is an elections review working group, and what we do, we look into issues related to elections, because it was after elections in, I think, more than a year ago, how to explain? Well, actually, there were problems with some members who actually expressed their concerns. They wanted to get a list of voters and so on. Another issue is that unfortunately the old system that was used for casting for distributing ballots, and as Sabine rightfully pointed out, when you receive an email from Tally, a Taycan, something, well, you have no idea what it's all about. And, in many cases, these ballots, they get stuck into spam filters, or people claim that they haven't received them, so they ask to resend it, and so on and so on. So those are issues that the Elections Review Working Group is dealing with. While looking into these issues, we came across some other additional issues. We prepared a list of these issues, presented them to the council, and council reviewed the list, and the only thing they thought is worth looking into deeper was this quorum rule, because in which cases we do have quorum requirement. For example, in cases when we vote for councillors from a particular region, when we vote for PDP, when we vote for example, if you look at the end of this document I sent today, when we're trying to change the rules. So the last article, a change will become valid only if approved with a vote of greater than 66% of a general meeting or by electronic vote. This is the issue. We have to understand, first of all, is this really an issue? Second, if yes, how can we address it? Probably not in all cases we really do need quorum. As you know, the membership of CCNSO is growing quite rapidly. Now we have 141, 142 members.
From today, 142.
Yeah, yeah, 42. We still have a great potential to grow. Not all members are active, and well, I'd say, as a lawyer, I'd say, if you have the right to vote, to participate in the process, perhaps it is your also your duty to participate. As a technical person, I'd say, well, if I don't want to vote, if I don't care about a particular issue, so this shouldn't be a problem if I do not vote. So just you can count me as abstained, or in this case, in many cases, perhaps it's counted as a vote for a particular decision or whatever we vote. So that is a short introduction. I hope it makes clearer what we're talking about. Now, if we look at ICANN bylaws, for example, again, I think we don't have to talk about council vote, so we can go straight to section 4, which is about the membership. First of all, the rules, even if they are from 2004, they cannot, if there are some discrepancies between the rules and the bylaws, of course bylaws should prevail, and we should look into bylaws to look for a solution. Perhaps at the end we'll have to change the rules. Well, anyway. Okay, sorry, I'm jumping from one point to another. But if you scroll down to the rules, there is a section about quorum, and point 3.1 says a quorum requirement only applies to physical meetings. So why it's so, it's not quite clear, because in bylaws it said that you can vote electronically or physically. The next one, the quorum shall be 50% of the total membership of CCNSO and further at least 2 members per ICANN region. Well, this could be fine in 2004, where there were 10 or 15 or whatever number of members. With 142, I really don't see how this article should work.
Actually, I think we should be. Maybe I can come back one, because I was very much arguing in favor of the quorum rules in 2004, and I still think it's necessary. And that for us it was very important, because what's the CCNSO about? And the CCNSO about is to make binding policies where with becoming a member of the CCNSO, you as a CCTLD undersign that you will follow them. So they will something which changes your local operation. And what we see, during that time we argued quite often, say there are not a lot of binding things to develop. And at that time ICANN was very strict and say, yes, but there are several things that have to be binding, and we have to define rules how we can come up to something which is binding. And binding means if you violate that, you're no longer maybe a CCTLD. And that is something which concerns us greatly. So from my perspective, I agree completely with you. If somebody is not interested and doesn't vote, I don't care. If somebody is subject to that, what happened, he has to care. And what I don't want to have is developing binding policies from only a few. So either we try to change the mandate of the CCNSO, saying, oh, that's just another club of CCTLDs, or where whatever is developed is a recommendation, then I would be fine without a quorum. But if it's a club of CCTLDs where they together come up with something which each and everybody agrees on to implement it locally, then I think there has to be a certain majority of people, at least collected by a accounting vote that they are willing to do so. Because if you don't have that, you will see a lot of policies developed where de facto the euro would be binding, but nobody is implementing it.
Yeah, so well, quorum, that's a very good point, yep.
So the quorum is actually the assurance that each and everybody has understood that he has not only to vote about it, but to implement it. And if he is not willing to vote and is not interested to vote about it, then he will most definitely not implement it. And then it should not be a binding policy. And therefore it's good if it's not passed.
Okay, yeah. Well, of course you can vote against, but I see your point. So if you do not vote, so it's, well, your vote should be counted as no, so that you disagree with the policy. That's major idea of quorum.
Actually, the major idea is that at least from, let's say 50% have to participate, and from them 50% has to be, sort of 51% has to be vote in favor. And that means that 25% of all CCTLDs at least say, I acknowledge that I have to implement it, and I will implement it. You know, I think that is fair enough for something which is binding for all of them.
In some cases, we need 66%, for example, to change the rules.
But changing the rules means actually something like that. Changing the rules means, we by the way come up with all the binding policy are decided by five people. That would be a change of the rules.
Yeah, sure.
And I think, and as we are subject to those rules, by going into that reasoning, we agree that whatever is developed there due to that rules, we will implement it. That means, and it is a very strong statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think, therefore, it's so important that at least those who, first of all, when it come up to be a binding policy, let's say, it is binding policy for all CCTLDs to implement DNSSEC, whatever. That means that everybody has to start to do it. And there should be a sort of some sort of evidence that it's actually not only a good idea, and those who didn't vote are ignorant, but actually that those are really starting to implement it. Because it's about binding policies.
Sabine, can I ask, because we also have situations where we vote about things that are not IDN PDP, not PDP related, where you're not forced to, it's more, for instance, voting to the council or something like that. Would you, do you feel the same about the rules there?
I think the council, well, by voting to the council, there is actually, you don't need so much, I think. Or? I'm not sure.
You do. I think if it's, as far as I remember, it's 51% need to vote per region.
Sure, yes. And per region.
For what? For
if
you, council.
If there's an election to the council, let's say there are two candidates per region, and there's an election, then at least 51% of the membership need to vote. And I can tell you it's actually quite hard to reach that percentage. And just to say, what we are worried about is that with a growing membership and with the IDN CCTLDs, which also will come in, I mean, and we see how it's harder and harder to engage the community. I can understand your point about about PDPs, because that's the more serious stuff. Well, that's serious in any case. But I'm saying this is not nothing. This is not no rules that will be binding, let's say, elections to the council. These are things we also need to look at. Do we need a quorum for that, or should it be that high?
Well, I think let's do it...
Because the question is, if you have an organization where the people are are not really care about what the organization is doing. And the question is, why do we need it?
That's a fair question, but as far as I know, we had a working group on that too, how to increase the participation and engagement. But well, you can't force people. You know that
very well.
Yeah, but maybe you want to ask them what they want.
And what if they?
Well, since obviously more and more people are joining the CCNSO, I think that's a conscious decision. But my question is basically, do we need a quorum for everything that we vote on?
As long as it's related to policy matters and financial matters, I would say yes.
Okay, so you don't...
As long as it doesn't have any financial impact, but...
Okay, my proposal, let's do it this way. We try to think of all the possible scenarios when we need a vote. For example, council elections, DDP, change of some rules, and so on. So we try to come up with a full list, well, as full as possible. And then we see, where we have this requirement and what is the quorum. And second, if that is really necessary. So this will be our report to the council, and well, that's my proposal. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Haven't said anything yet.
Just so you know, Barak has dropped off.
Okay, he dropped off. Okay, so
only
three ladies. Three ladies. So
only
three ladies have to decide the future of these episodes.
I reverse the question to Katrina. How do you feel as a representative of the European region, while knowing that you're only elected by potentially two members of them?
Well, I personally wouldn't feel...
Would that make you happy, or...
No, definitely not, but... I agree with you. I wouldn't feel happy about that, but now I wouldn't feel happy even if it was, like, 18 for me and 17 for another one. So I wouldn't feel good in that case either, so...
I think so
what is the difference, yeah?
No, that's the second part much better.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like 49% do not want me to be.
Yeah, but that you have a democratic majority, and you have a sort of, you know for whom you speak and what they expect from you. And hopefully you have make a sort of an election campaign where you had asked them, and they know what you're standing for and what you will want to achieve there.
Barak is back on the call now.
Yes,
so it's
good.
That's very often in democratic countries that there is a fight of between different positions. I have never seen a fight between positions within the CCNSO, but people say I will do that and that when I'm on the council. And that maybe that causes the lack of interest for other people.
No, it's definitely a lack of interest. Yeah.
And but because nobody's knowing what are the political programs, what will be achieved or what will not be achieved.
So you also in the beginning mentioned that there are some issues where you think that the quorum should not be a requirement. It could be decided only by a majority vote. So there are certain votes where you think that if you don't participate, it's fine.
I personally think the CCNSO should do less, and they should do what they're doing. They should do it. They should do it with the quorum rules, and then everybody knows what's happening, and then everybody will actually vote. But that, or it should change its focus to a non-binding club of same interest people, and then it's no longer not so necessary. But being a regulator for CCTLD which de facto is, then I think there is important that the remit within these organizations working are very clear, and the CCN is always the regulator of the CCTLDs. It's not a nice club of people.
Yes, but according to bylaws, you can opt out in any moment.
That's true, but according to the bylaws, it's only the regulation function what the CCN is always supposed to do. And if I every time when it came to regulation opt out, then I don't have to be a member. Why? It was hard for me to accept that there has to be a need of a regulator, but of course I have to accept it, and I'm part of the group doing the regulation for the CCTLDs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Certainly we can. It's even easier. We can prepare this statement from the group that this is really good. The quorum rule is a good thing, and even if it slows down process in some cases, the second vote in any case is just a majority vote, so it can be. Well, it perhaps won't slow down the process significantly, and we can, well, just write the reasoning you provided that well, this is binding. Decisions are binding to all the members, and so you must implement them and so on. But I do see problems with the rules. I think we must propose to renew them because they are really very, very obsolete.
Yeah.
So, Barak, do you have anything to say now when you're on the call?
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I agree with the proposal that you've made. I think as I can move more towards redefining the so-called multi-stakeholder model, I think the issue of quorum is going to play a significant role going forward. And unfortunately, with rules, whenever we have rules, that's when people choose to break them, so they become very unpopular. But I think at the end of the day, it's only fair that we have some sort of rules to ensure that the majority, the decision of the majority is taken into consideration and the minority is heard. That's all I can say for now.
Okay, thank you. Let's proceed it this way. Gabi and I, we will prepare apparently it will be a short reporting of our work that we reviewed bylaws, the rules, and discussed the issue. And, then we provide this reasoning behind the quorum rule and say that, well, that's just the way how people can show that they are willing to implement follow the decisions they have voted for. So is this, how does it sound to you?
For me, that's fine. Actually, the beauty actually is if there is no quorum, as a general rule that is neglected, as a general item, everybody can implement it anyway, but it doesn't have to be binding for all. And I think that's the beauty within the proposal. So nobody. Let's take my idea in a second example. If you say there is the proposal that everybody has to implement DNSSEC, and you don't get the quorum, all the others who disagree can actually still implement it.
Of course, yes.
Can I say something?
Of course.
Okay. I think the fact that most of the activities within the ICANN communities, and in particular the CCNSO, are somewhat voluntary, brings in the issue of people prioritizing when to be there or not to be there. But at the same time, we have critical business that needs to be passed. So I think I agree, Chair, that whether people like it or not, I think we need to have the rules in place and enforce them at the same time, because if a decision is made by those who are in the room, even if there are two, and, for example, they constitute the quorum, then if it is a bad decision, the majority will have to bear with it because of their absence. And, again, that is the duty of the rule encourages now people to make sure they are present in meetings so that bad decisions, if I may use that term, cannot be able to make, to be, or rather cannot be met. So I feel let's proceed and make a proposal.
Bad decisions, as you said, they can go through. In any case, if in the first round we do not have quorum, in the second round it doesn't matter how many people actually cast their votes. So this is definitely, we shouldn't view quorum rule as a mechanism for stopping bad decisions from being adopted if people don't vote against them. So it's just not going to work that way.
I think it's when there are only two people in the room, it's worthwhile to do a discussion at all, because then it's maybe not relevant for the majority.
Case, of course, yeah.
And then the question, why do it?
For the people want to.
No, if two people want to set the agenda of 270, I disagree. I think it's important that we are still, that the long-run development of a membership organization, it's a membership organization, it's not an organization of multi-stakeholder who is there. There are people coming in saying, I'm a member of. And what the membership organization does should not be depending on if there is only two people in the room and 150 are not interested, and then it can pass. They too can pass things. I think a membership organization, seriously, should not be able to move forward without the members. If it's a whatever organization, I don't care, but we are a membership organization. That means I have signed a letter saying I become a member, and so everybody within these members, and it should not depend on the amount of people in the, if there are only two people in the room, they couldn't move the members. They can move themselves, but not the membership organization, because they don't want to listen anymore to them, they are exhausted, and they have other businesses to do. Then, by this organization is doing nothing. And that's right and good.
Yeah, of course there's a question.
And intentionally, it should be the case.
Yeah, I have the only question, if people don't care about the organization, why do they become members of this organization? This is really not quite clear to me, but this is not the issue we can and should be solving. Okay, so thank you very much for your input. If there's anything more you'd like to add, you can do it now, or let's proceed the way we agreed. So we prepare a report, send it to you, so you can review it, update, and add some more valid points, whatever you're thinking about, and then we just... we have a face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires on Saturday. Are you there? Oh, sorry, on Sunday Sunday morning. Are you there then, Sabine?
I'm there, yes.
Well, I hope you
will enjoy.
Okay, very good. I hope Hong will be there too. And so we just review it, and if everything's fine, perhaps we can even submit the report to the council. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Gabby. Any idea? Any comments?
I just have one little thing that I wanted to bring up, and which you actually touched upon, and that is perhaps we should also agree on what to do when with if people need to abstain directly or indirectly, because I spoke to many people after the IDN-PDP vote, and they said that in their culture, if you're not voting, you're abstaining. Well, we have this rule that you need to actively abstain, that you need to go in and click and I abstain. And I was just thinking that's perhaps what, something we should at least touch upon in the report as well, because that's kind of dealing with quorum as well. We don't know what people consider being abstention and how to count that.
The way I understand our discussion today, if people do not vote, they vote against.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But that's the thing. But this is what made me think of that, because I've talked to many people in Durban, and they told me that in their culture, if you're not voting, you're abstaining.
We should actually make it per membership cast, where everybody can click on. If when he is not voting, then it's abstention, and if he is not voting, it's to be counted as a negative, because in my culture it's negative. So we can do it on a per member basis. Every member can choose how they're.
I think it's a very good idea, and I think in our new CCNSO tool for the members, I think we could really implement this, and I think it's a good idea, and we can propose that.
I think
so that they will select what how to do this. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's
a good idea. Can I say something?
Yes, of course, mm-hmm. Barak.
Yeah. Well, what I see around, and in particular in Kenya, where I come from, you can also give someone the option of abstaining if for whatever reasons they do not want to vote, so that it's clear this one's voted for, this one's voted against, this one's abstained.
Yes, that's a good idea, and I think we could implement it, really. Okay, I like this approach.
Yeah, but it needs active participation, actively clicking abstain.
No,
yeah.
It means that in the database you can checkbox. If you don't participate in the vote, it's counted as abstention or a vote against. I think that's and it could be taken into account when counting votes. I think it could actually solve some issues.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was a very productive discussion. Thank you very much. Anything else?
No.
Or let's wait for the first draft of the report.
I'll wait for the first draft.
Okay. Yeah,
thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you very much for joining and for expressing your views.
Yes.
Thank you. So
thank you.
See you. Okay, we will send it. I hope that next week we'll... I hope that we'll send a report to you, and so you'll have opportunity to comment. And I hope that in Buenos Aires we can we'll be able to finalize it and submit to the council as a result of our very productive working group. Thank you very much again.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
So see you soon.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.